Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Zechariah Perek Hei, Chapter 5. Now, we've mentioned in some of our earlier classes on Zechariah that Zechariah's prophecies are some of the most difficult to understand, and I think Perek Hei of Zechariah is a good example of the most difficult of the most difficult. We'll start reading and we'll propose a few solutions, a few possibilities, but I feel like it needs to be said right from the beginning that these are possibilities. These are very, very difficult nivuot to parse out. But once again, they will be kind of symbolic, dramatic acts that Zechariah witnesses. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. Va'ashuv. I looked up again, ve'asa inai, raised my eyes, ve'er'eh, v'hine megillah afa. And I saw a megillah, which is actually like a megillah scroll, that is flying. Pasuk bet, v'yomer elai, and here's our friend, the malach that's coming back to speak to Zechariah, help him take it through. V'yomer elai, ma t'ro'eh, what do you see, Zechariah? Ve'omar, and I said, ani ro'eh megillah afa. Yes, I see a Megillah scroll flying. Now, how big is the Megillah? Arka esrim ba'ama, v'rachava eser ba'ama. It's 20 amot, which are cubits, bigger than a foot, 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. Now, by the way, incidentally, I'll just put this out there those are the measurements of the entrance of the Heichal, the entrance of the Beit HaMikdash, of the first temple. Vayomer elai, pasu gimel, zot ha'ala hayotzeit al pnei kol ha'aretz, ki kol ha'gonev mizeh kamoha nika, v'kol ha'nishba mizeh kamoha nika. So now the malach ha'doverbi, the angel, speaks and says, what is on the scroll? The scroll is covered with curses. On one side is the curse, and it will go out, so this curse applies to everybody in all the land. On one side is a curse for anyone who is stolen, and has so far has not been punished. And on the other side are curses for those who swear falsely and have so far been unpunished, meaning they will now begin to be punished. That's Rashi's reading. Pasuk Dalid, Hotzitia Ne'um Hashem Tzvakot, Uba'al Beit HaGanav Ve'al Beit HaNishba B'Shmila Sheker V'Lana B'Toch Beito V'Kilto V'Et Eitzav V'Et Avanav. So why is this scroll with the curses coming out? Now Hashem says, I have sent it forth. And now the curses will begin to enter the house of the thieves and the house of one who swears falsely by my name, by Hashem's name. And these curses will lodge inside their houses and it will consume them, including also all the wood and the stones that built up their houses. Okay, so it sounds like there's the scroll. We see that the first vision is that there's this flying scroll that has curses written on it. On one side, it's curses directed against somebody who stole, and on the other side are curses directed against somebody who swore in Hashem's name falsely. Now these people will be punished, and this scroll will ultimately punish them by hitting them in their homes. Almost all the classical mefarshim, you know, Rashi, Radak, Malbim, if you take a look, they interpret this in a similar way. There are differences, but in overall, their approach is that this is a different type of nivuah than what we've seen earlier. So far, what we've seen is Zechariah very encouraging, but now Zechariah is explaining, listen, this is the vision of the Beit HaMikdash. We want the Beit HaMikdash should be built. The Beit HaMikdash should be glorified. It should be a place where Hashem Shechina will rest. But if we really want that to happen, then people have to earn it. People have to deserve it. And what that means is that those who have been stealing or sinning by swearing in Hashem's name falsely, they have been unpunished until now, but now they're going to be punished. And it's fitting that comes out of the Beit HaMikdash, meaning comes out of this Megillah is the size of the opening of the Beit HaMikdash. So I think this reflecting that in order for the Beit HaMikdash and Hashem's Shechina, it's not about the physical building now, but it's about the presence of Hashem to rest in the Beit HaMikdash. It has to reflect a society that is not corrupt. It has to reflect a society that's refined. What is that type of society? It's an ethical society. It's a society who takes what that uses what's theirs, but doesn't take from other people things that aren't theirs. It's a society that says true statements, that doesn't swear falsely in Hashem's name. And you could see a little bit also the mixing between sins against people, sins against God. This is a society that's based on truth. And kind of harking back to the messages of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, if the Beit HaMikdash is going to stand, it has to stand on an ethical society. So we're building the physical Beit HaMikdash, and now that requires a higher ethical standard of those who are living in the land if they really want the Shekhinah to rest among them. Okay, so the second vision starts in verse 5. Vayetze ha-malach ha-dover bi. So the malach who's speaking to me came out, vayomer elai, and said to me, sana enecha, raise your eyes, ure'ei mahayotzeta zot, and see what is this object that is approaching. Pasuk vav, va'omar, and I said, mahi. Zecharia is confused. Vayomer, so then the malach said, zot ha'efa hayotzet. Okay, this is an epha that is approaching. An epha is a measurement, and presumably it's like some kind of a vessel, a tub that is holds this amount. So this is the epha that is coming towards you. Vayomer, and then the malach said again, zot enam bechol haaretz. This is their eyes on all the land. There's a little bit of a discussion among the commentaries whether the eyes are the eyes of the what's in the epha, or these are the eyes of God. Okay, we'll come back to that. Pasuk Zayin, v'hine. Actually, before we even read Pasuk Zayin, just want to point out that Zechariah is really pretty dumbfounded here. If you just look at the back and forth between the Malach and Zechariah, Zechariah says, "What do you see?" And he says, you know, see what this is. And in this time, it's not just that Zechariah can't explain what it is, but he doesn't even understand what he's seeing. And then the Malach has to step in. And he said, okay, this is the Epha. And then there's like another silence. And he says, this is the eyes on all the land. Then he continues in Pasuk Zayin, Vihine, okay, actually this is, we're just almost watching this unfold, Kikar Oferet Nis'it. A disc of lead was lifted, meaning there was a disc of lead that was covering this tub. Vizot ishachat yoshevet betocha efa. Ah, and who would have guessed? There is a female figure sitting inside the efa, almost like it sounds like a genie. Pasuk chet vayomer zot harisha. And the Malach again is speaking, because Zechariah again doesn't even understand what he's seeing, and certainly not to explain it. And he says, "This is evil." Vayashlech ota el tocha efa, and thrust her back into the efa. Vayashlech et even haoferet al piha, and they took the lead piece and put it into her mouth. And again, there's a little bit of a disagreement whether it was put into the mouth of this female manifestation of evil, or whether it was put at the top of this tub to hold her in. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more. Obviously, this is very not understandable, but let's continue a little bit, and then we'll talk about some possibilities. Pasuk Tet, Ve'asainai, so now Zechariah is speaking again, I raised my eyes, Va'ereh, and I saw, Behine Shtayim Nashim Yotzot, and now I see two women, female figures, again, coming out, v'ruach b'kanfehem, and they have wind in their wings, v'lahena knafayim, and they both have wings, k'kanfe achasida, like the wings of a stork. V'tisena et ha'efa b'en ha'aret u'b'en ha'shamayim, and these two female figures carry off this tub somewhere between earth and sky. Okay. Zechariah is totally mystified. V'omar el ha-malach ha-dover bi, and I said to the malach who's speaking to me, Ana hema molichot et ha-efa. Where are these two flying women bringing the efa? Where are they bringing the tub? V'yomer elai, so he said to me, Livnot la bayit be'eret shinar. They're bringing her to build her a house in the land of Shinar, which is in, the land of Shinar is pretty synonymous for Babylonia. V'huchan, it will be established. V'hunicha sham al mechunata, and she'll be set down there upon the stand. So I say this vision really takes the cake for a vision that is really so difficult to understand. At the same time, it's almost like a fantastical vision. There's no historical rooting here. There's genies, there's flying women who look like a stork. It's just a very, very bizarre vision. So there's many, many possibilities of how to interpret it. So once again, I think what I'll do here is I'm going to give you the most common way to interpret this. And then at the end, we'll go back to these two visions and offer an alternate explanation. Okay, so we have this bowl, and in this tub, this bowl is evil. Okay, so it sounds like there's some type of sin, there's some type of wickedness. This wickedness, this evil, is then taken away from Jerusalem and sent to exile in Babylonia, where it's put into a house by these two flying women. So most of the commentaries understand that the evil is once again actually kind of similar to in the first vision, representative of sin. Rashi says that since the ephah is a very specific measurement, then the sin was that of dishonesty, that of measurement. And therefore, it's midah keneged midah, that the punishment, it's like the punishment fits the crime, that she is put into some kind of a tub that is a measurable kind of tub. Her mouth is closed so that she can no longer be dishonest in what she's doing. And then she is taken away, whisked away, because the sin can't exist in Israel, once again, in Jerusalem, in the presence of the temple. It's very similar to the first vision in that in order for the Beit HaMikdash to be able to exist and Hashem's Shechina to reside in the Beit HaMikdash, it will only reside there in an ethical society. And we had this, you know, going back to the prophecies of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, that it's not only about the building. Yes, a lot of the encouragement of Zechariah is go ahead and build it, even though it doesn't look great. But the building only matters if there's an ethical foundation. So whether it is stealing, whether it is swearing falsely, whether it is being dishonest in measurements, these are the things that corrupt a society. So before the Beit HaMikdash can actually, before Hashem's Shechina can enter the Beit HaMikdash, then the people who are doing this have to be punished, and in this case, have to be exiled. The land will not be able to hold them anymore once the land has a higher spiritual stature. There's a totally different way to read this chapter. And this idea is developed in the Dot Mikra series by Mordechai Zerkavod. And he bases it on the historical context of when Zechariah was speaking. Now, we've mentioned this, that the book of Ezra is, and the book of Nehemiah, kind of a historical companion to the time period of the prophecy of Haggai and Zechariah, and also Malachi. So one of the things we know from Ezra is that when they started building the Beit HaMikdash, one of the struggles that they had was that there were other people living in Judea. And this makes sense because when the Assyrians, this is like if we go way back to where the 10 tribes were exiled, I think 722 BCE, when the Assyrians exiled the Jews, what they did was this is specifically the northern kingdom. When they exiled the Jews from the northern kingdom in Samaria, they put other people there. And those people essentially were living in Samaria. They were the Shomronim, the Samaritans. And they had certain commonalities with the Jews now who had returned back, but they also were different. They were ethnically similar, but religiously they were different. Now, it's interesting because they did serve God, but they also would serve other gods. So when the Jews started to build the Beit HaMikdash, they had a very complicated situation because the Samaritans tried to disrupt the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And one of the ways they disrupted this was by telling the Jews, hey, we'll participate. We want to help you. And this put the Jews in a bad situation because they couldn't allow them to do it with them. They were idolaters. And they also knew that they wanted to disrupt. So they said, I'm sorry, you can't build with us. At which point, then they would send letters back to the Persian Empire and say that the Jews were rebelling against the Persian Empire. And this caused a lot of delays because the Persian Empire didn't really care about the Beit HaMikdash. They just wanted peace. So if there was trouble, they would delay and stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash until it was clarified. So this was one of the big issues that was happening around the time of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So Mordechai Zerkavot, in explaining this perek, explains both of those visions with this as a backdrop. The first vision of the flying Megillah with the curses in it, and remember the curses were for those who stole and for those who swore falsely, he says, were directed specifically to the people who were trying to disrupt the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And these people were dishonest. They didn't really want to build the Beit HaMikdash, but they said they did, but in the end, they really didn't. That wasn't their intention. Not only that, in order to disrupt, they would often steal material from the Beit HaMikdash. They also swore falsely. They would send letters to the Persian government and say that the Jews in Judea were actually rebelling against the Persian government. So they were these curses were not going out against the Jews who had returned to Judea to build the Beit HaMikdash. They were going out to this community of the Shomronim who were trying to disrupt the Beit HaMikdash. So too, he explains a second vision in the same way. He says, who is this evil who is personified in this ephah? He said, the evil is the evil of the Tzarei Yehuda, the evil of those trying to oppress Judea, the foreigners, including again the Shomronim, but all the foreign nations that were living there who were trying to disrupt the Jews rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, who were trying to disrupt this return to their homeland and a return to religious freedom and the return to their own religious worship. So the evil is those foreign forces trying to disrupt the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, I actually think that this interpretation, which is a totally different interpretation, this has nothing to do with the sins of the Jewish people. Actually, this is not a vision in this way. It's not a vision of rebuke, but it's a vision of comfort, very similar to the other visions that we've seen so far in Zechariah, reassuring the people that it's okay, things are going to work out. Right now, you're seeing a lot of trouble with people starting up with you, but Hashem is saying, no, don't worry. They will be punished and they will be sent away. This interpretation, I think, works better with the second vision, the vision of the ephah, that tub that had the evil woman in it who was sent away to Bavel. Because in this case, why was she sent specifically to Bavel? Not only is she sent to Bavel, but she's given a bayit there. It's not like in the first vision where there's actually a punishment. In this case, the female who represents evil is sent away from Jerusalem as instead sent to Babel, to Babylonia, to exile, to have her own bayit, her own home. And Professor Eliyahu Assis actually suggests, what is that home? That home is her own temple. And the message there would be to the Samaritans or the foreigners who are trying to disrupt the building of the Beit HaMikdash, okay, you want to serve your God? You can have your own bayit. You can have your own temple, but you can't have it in the Beit HaMikdash. You can't have it with the Jews who are rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, because even if you say that you are one and the same as them, we know that you are not. So you will be taken away to Bavel, and you will be settled there in Bavel, where you are welcome to have your own temple. So to recap, we saw two very strange visions. First, we saw it was the flying scroll with the curses against the people who stole or who swore falsely in Hashem's name. And those curses were going out against people who had disrupted the ethical culture of the society. The second one we saw was the evil woman who was put into this tub and flown to Babylonia. And we saw two ways to explain it. The first being that these are ways to purge Jerusalem and specifically the Jewish people who have come back, who are living there, of sin, so that they can actually merit Hashem's Shechina resting among them in an ethical society. Or the second approach, which is that this is not directed at the Jews at all. There's no rebuke here, but instead this is encouragement telling them that you are fighting many challenges right now in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, but keep at it, because ultimately Hashem will punish and Hashem will send away those who are the foreigners who are trying to disrupt the building. Perhaps I'll just end by saying maybe this is the fun part of some of Zachariah's visions, that the fact that they're so esoteric and so difficult to explain gives us the possibility of researching and raising all different kinds of explanation to understand them. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.